This is 307 Net Info, connecting community. With 307 Net Info, and today I'm joined by Lynette Fox, who's the Vice Chair of Johnson County School District Board of Trustees. Hello, Lynette, nice to see you.
Hi, Kate, thanks for having me today.
Well, thank you so much. We're going to talk about school board trustees, and it's a good moment because we discovered that we now have two open spots, and the school board has asked for letters of interest. The closing for that is pretty soon. It's actually on Monday. But it's a good opportunity for us really to talk about the role of a school board trustee. And I'm delighted that you're prepared to join us and talk about that from your own perspective. Just to explain to people who may not know, the school board has 9 members.
Correct.
At the moment. And at the last election, which we just had back in last November, 5 seats of that 9 were up for election. You were one of the candidates, your term was up.
I was.
But you were the only one who was an incumbent.
Yes.
The other 4 were new. We now have 2 of those elected members who were elected last November have been unable to continue for various reasons. So you now have 2 open spots on the board, and you're looking for letters of interest, and you're going to review them at the meeting, the work session, next Wednesday, and then you will vote on that appointment the following Monday at your regular board meeting.
Yes.
But as I was saying, this is a really good opportunity for us to really talk about what trustees do. And I'm very glad that you joined me because you're still new enough to the school board to remember what it was like at the beginning. But also you're pretty seasoned and you've really dug in to what happens. Maybe you could start by just explaining what a school board trustee actually does. What is your responsibility and what authority do you have over schools' operations and policies and so forth?
Okay. Well, our main job is as school board trustees is we have a responsibility to the community, to the people that elected us, to the constituents, to all stakeholders involved. Education is a civil right. It's, you know, it's vast in America, and our main function is to oversee a financial institution, review institute policy, and be sure that policy is enforced. And through those systems, you know, we've got a huge chain of communication that we work with to be sure that we can do our job the best that we can.
So you are not the boss of individuals within the school district. It's only the school superintendent who actually reports to you.
So per se, like what we've learned, what I've learned is that our main employee is the superintendent, and we direct and guide him. He has administrators underneath him, he's principals and all the staff and everything that it entails. And so he goes out and he does all of his business, and then he reports back to us and comes back with recommendations. And so with him is our opportunity to ask questions, gain a better understanding if we're not understanding something, and to support his recommendations going through that process of understanding and gaining the knowledge of, you know, whatever the questions were that we needed to make a final decision. And so, yes, we are not directly involved with staff. Charles is our main go-to.
Yes, Charles Oskey
is our main go-to. And then we just deal within everything within that. The budget, you know, there's a district business manager that, you know, Charles can set up, and we can work through him with that. So that because financial back is part of our job. We're dealing, you know, statutorily, we're given 20 mills through the state. We're given 6 mills through the county, and it is our responsibility to, use those funds with fidelity on behalf of the stakeholder and the taxpayer and of our communities. So in
preparing for this conversation, I read that Wyoming Public School Board directors, actually you have 80 specific duties or powers to administer, which is a lot, but none of them are direct. It's all oversight. It's all governance at a very high level. You're not down in the weeds at all. You have very little influence on a day-to-day basis with things. It's only where policy is concerned. So you set policy and then it's a question of, is that appropriate? Should we change it? Do we need to review it? And so on. There's nothing really that you can do and put your hand sort of straight into a school and change something immediately.
Right. So within Johnson County School District, I can't give you an exact number of the policies, but in the last couple of years, we've done a piece as a school board, because I think we figured out that if we went policy by policy and did just, you know, reviewed, and, you know, when a policy comes to us, it's vetted through a committee of a vast number of people. There's administrators, there's teachers, there's, you know, a gamut of, there's board members, there's a gamut of people that sit on those policy committees. And so what we have done under the recommendation of the WSBA is we have decided
to... Can you just... The WSBA
is... The WSBA is the Wyoming School Board Association that we, Johnson County, is actually a part of. We have access to all state statutes. We have access to any questions that pertain federally and statutorily with the laws. And they do an excellent job at training board members. They do an excellent job at keeping superintendents, business managers, and all the such up to date on like what federal laws look like, what state laws look like. And so they're kind of like our main point that we can reach out at any time, at any point in time, any board member can reach out to them, you know, for an answer to a question that we may have of something that may come up. And so they have given us a recommendation to kind of start chunking out some of those policies. So we've taken them in sections. And it was something like 14 years if we went over them.
I remember a month. A horrible number being quoted at a meeting about
that. With school board trustees only being four-year terms, we would never get through. And so what we've done is we've taken them in sections, and, you know, you'll get the policy and you can read through it, and they'll come with a recommendation, and you go through a first reading, and then you go through a second reading. And during those two readings, and it happens at two separate meetings, so anybody has an opportunity to come in, voice their concern, call a trustee, call the superintendent, call your principal, whoever. You could call and voice your concern, ask questions, you know, offer your input. And so we have chosen to do that. And it's actually made it a lot, it's not easy, but it's made it a lot easier. And it's made it seem like it's not such a force that we are just overwhelmed with. Because like I said, I'm not going to give you the exact number of policies, but I know it's in the hundreds.
So I'd like to come back and talk a bit more in a moment about, you know, communication and interface with the community that you're representing. But but before we do, what do you think are the most common misunderstandings that maybe you had before you were actually found yourself, you know, behind that chair, behind that table, or that you think other people may have about the role of a school board trustee?
Well, I think a lot of times, and I think this is probably just in our nature, you know, I think that people, you know, have different interests. And a lot of times when it's their children, I mean, that's probably our largest interest when you have a child. I mean, you want everything that's right, and you want everything that's best for that child. And so sometimes I think, you know, people come in, and I use the term agenda loosely just because I don't think that everyone comes on with an agenda, but I do think that it can happen. And what I've seen and what people have learned, what I've seen over the last 5 years, is that an actual personal agenda is something that's not on the table. It's It's not an option. There's a process, there's a system to everything. And working through that process and working through that system, you know, we're able to decipher that, you know, you're not going to come in and be able to, you know, make this change. You know, like, the school lunches are terrible. I'm going to fix that as a board member. That it could happen, but there's a system to working through that. And so, you know, being a trustee, it's part of the chain of communication that is vital and it's critical and that we need to stick with. And we, following that chain, it's not as simple as just fixing something.
Well, I think there are two things that come to mind when mm-hmm. I, you know, sit in and observe school board meetings. Is one is that you are one of nine. So
we
your
are.
Voice is not as potent as than if you were one of three. Say.
Well, and the nine, we actually, for our small community, I feel that we represent a vast, diverse majority of this community. You know, we all wear different hats in our daily lives. And I think we have good coverage for a majority of our small community within those nine voices.
I mean, the other issue is that education itself, I mean, I've always struck by just how much regulation, red tape, how siloed so much of it is that it appears that there should be lots of flexibility, but actually it's incredibly regulated and it is very difficult to be flexible. It's more of a sort of juggernaut that's travelling down the road than, you know, a nice little zippy sports car that can respond mm-hmm. quickly to issues. And that makes it slow. And that means that any one individual's influence is slowed down mm-hmm. and it is diluted.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, for instance, like in the, you know, within the funding of public schools, there's several components of funding. And with each component of funding, there are cables tied to each component. While we would like to think that we can just take this pot of money and spend it for whatever works best for our district, our six schools, that is not how it works. Every component of that funding piece, and this is just one piece, is there's a specific use, and we are tied. We are tied to that. And you're right. We do go through a lot of red tape. Public schools are also, you know, there's standardizing, there's testing, there's, you know, there's accountability pieces. And there are certain things that the state Department of Education says that we, you know, as public schools, we have to do these things. We have to turn these things in to show the work that we've done as a school district and to show that we have kept those cables within the means of where they need to be. So
thinking about what you can influence, mm-hmm. What are the kind of things that you feel that you can be involved with that actually do make a difference to students?
Oh, we actually have an awesome opportunity within Johnson County. And this started a couple of years ago. And we, as trustees, were all assigned as a liaison. And we have a liaison or two, depending to every school. And what a liaison's job is that we are basically assigned to that school. There are do's and don'ts. We are introduced to the principal, who, you know, is the director of that school. And within that, we, dealing with students, we can be invited to any of the celebrations that there might be. We are, when necessary or when needed, we can be offered up to help within like playground duty, morning duty. There's a number of different things. And so within that liaison position, communicating with that principal, maybe where their needs are, what their needs are, if they need anything, we are invited to join in and be a part of that actual school. And so it's actually a really neat a neat program that we've started, because I think there's a lot of us that had never been in some of the other schools. So, you know, maybe if you have a child,
members have children in the school district, and maybe that's part of their motivation for running, because it's that time in their life stage and so on. Do you think that's an advantage or a disadvantage to have a kid in the school district at the time? Does it make your job easier or harder? Do you think that, how much do you describe a liaison, but how much do you think that school board trustees overall understand about the schools in which they don't have direct experience from their child going through?
I can tell you from my own experience, before I got elected, I had no idea my daughter was in kindergarten, my first election, and I honestly had no idea how it worked within schools. And now I've watched her graduate up in, you know, to now we're into the next school. We're into the third, fourth, and fifth Cloud Peak Elementary. And I see, I wouldn't say that it's an advantage, but it's given me as a parent an opportunity to be directly involved in with what my child's education could look like. I really had no understanding. I had a facade thought of like what standardized testing looked like, maybe what activities looked like. And it's more than just like the parent groups within a school that, you know, like when my daughter was at Metal Arc, I was part of the parent herd. It's more than just that. As a trustee, I actually get to see the deep roots of like, okay, when we give our kids these standardized tests, what happens to them? What does that mean? Where do they go? How does that, you know, where does that make a difference for Johnson County? So I would say that is an advantage that we could see, but it's an advantage that not just trustees get. It's an advantage that I, as a trustee who communicate with a lot of people within the community, I'm able to share and maybe help them gain a better understanding of the what's and the whys. You know, I'm always open for a question of why does this have to happen, or why do we do it like this? And when I can share the actual reason, I think people are become a little more receptive and like maybe more understanding, you know, especially like I think about the standardized testing. That's because it's just something that our kids are just now going through. And it's something that's been dealt on the home front at my house. Mm-hmm. And I actually feel that I've been able to help my child and other parents by telling them, you know, this is why we do it. This is how they do it. Yes, it's an accountability piece on your child. It's accountability piece on their teacher. It's accountability on the district as a whole, but there's a why behind it. And so I'm able to like help explain that, which kind of softens for people. I think when we have a better understanding of things, then it's easier to swallow.
So what about, for example, the schools that, you know, you've not reached yet because your child is not at that age, you know, do you feel that you don't have a direct personal experience, but do you feel that you understand as a school board trustee enough of what happens in those buildings to be able to make informed decisions?
Yes, I do. I personally have made it my own personal goal to, I try to get to activities to all of the different schools. I try to get involved. We have great principals that send out an invite, you know, across the board, maybe not just to their liaison, but they will send invites to different things. And I truly can speak for myself that I personally try to attend a lot of that. And so I gain a better understanding. We every month, through our reports, the principals send an overall of what has been happening in their school. And through the past couple of years, we've asked for more detailed reports. Don't just give us the outline, like give us the details. And so those details, and you know, we can ask any questions, whether it be a question of our own or maybe a stakeholder has said, hey, what about this? And I never thought of that. I'll ask, I'll find out. And so, yes. And funny that you asked that, because I was just thinking about this next year. I've always been chosen as a liaison that my daughter has been in. And I'm going to suggest the next year, just to kind of spice it up a little bit, could it be an opportunity for me to have a school that maybe my daughter isn't in, mm-hmm. so that I can get a better view and a better eye?
Well, that leads in very nicely to sort of navigating this place that I think it's especially tricky sometimes if you're in a very small community where our lives overlap in many different ways, and you're a business owner too, and so on, and a mother, and etc. But we all have multiple interfaces in our small community. How do you navigate being a school board member, making decisions, and so on, but, you know, at the same time, socializing, going to the grocery store, doing all those things? You know, how do you find your place? Do you think that you've changed, or are you more conscious of how you present yourself? You know, you're more thoughtful about how you can talk to people. Is that something that comes into play for you?
Oh, absolutely. So me personally, again, I've taken a great interest in leadership and governance through the board. There was really never a process of the board evaluating themselves. Who are we held accountable to? There was never a piece to that. And I think everyone knew that we're held accountable to the community, but unless the community shows up, there's really no accountability piece there.
And the opportunity to be accountable only comes up at an election.
At an election, exactly.
And that is not always the most appropriate way of dealing right. with accountability.
So the WSBA has set up its leadership and governance. And in Johnson County, we're currently, and it's a piece that we've started, and we morph it every time we do it. It's getting better and better and better. And one of the things, so Johnson County is a PLC community, we call it. It's a professional learning community. It's and the teachers do it within their schools. Team teachers do it within their schools to look at kids and see, you know, where expectations are being met and where maybe interventions need to take place and where enrichments need to take place. So now we're going to bring it back, and we're actually just starting. We're working towards being a PLC board, a professional learning community board. And our schools work with a gentleman by the name of Mitch Kraft. And he's done a phenomenal job. I've gone in and sat and watched these PLCs with different team teachers, and it's truly phenomenal. It will truly give you goosebumps when you see a team of people working to do what's best for kids. And so now Mitch has agreed that he's going to work with us, and we're going to work on becoming a PLC board and aligning. And what our PLC, what we want them to align with is, so this kind of leads into what has happened just this year. It was time to change our strategic plan. And so there was a big team of community members, people within the district, that spent 4 days together, 4 mandatory days together, working on our strategic plan and everything that it entailed. And, they smithed every single word. They vetted every single word. And so through our PLC work, we're guiding to match it to our strategic plan, empowering all students to thrive.
The board, there are 9 members, and you already, you know, mentioned that there is pretty much everybody in our community is represented in some form or fashion through those 9 different members. Do you think that, you know, what do you think are the best skills that a school board member can bring to the table? Should they have students in school, or does that create a bias that's difficult? Or, you know, what do you think is the ideal cross-section for a school board? And, you know, should it be teachers? Should there be professional educators on boards? Or does that muddy the waters and confuse things? What's your opinion?
Honestly, I don't think that there's any one box that anybody could sit in. I think it's important that we have a vast, you know, variety of people. I think that we all bring a different aspect to the table. You know, I know in the past there's been former educators, maybe retired educators, that brought a different piece. There's been business owners that have brought a different piece. There's been, you know, retired folks that have brought a different piece. And so I think it's important that we, you know, keep it as diverse as possible. And I wouldn't say any one specific type or any one specific group, you know, because the school board works as a team. There's no individual work there. We vote and we make decisions by a majority. And the deal is when, you know, when majority rules, then we need to get on board, whether you were for that certain thing or not. Get on board, majority ruled, for that to go through, and then we just keep moving forward. And so as a board, we're working really hard and trying to really come to that place where we can keep taking the steps. And I think, you know, us moving in the direction of becoming a PLC, professional learning community, and working together, it will strengthen us as a team. We can gain, you know, a good understanding. And one of the hugest pieces, you know, communication. Today there's a bazillion ways to communicate, and you can communicate in a bazillion and one ways, and you will still miss somebody. I know that we have tried several ways, and we just, you know, we just keep moving forward and hopes that we can catch everybody.
And so public comment is a mm-hmm. is a way that, and that is appears on the agenda for both the work sessions which happen mm-hmm. the Wednesday before the regular board meeting. And in fact, those work sessions in some ways are more important when it comes to being part of a decision than the actual board meeting, because the board meeting really is
business,
going through the business and agreeing it and making it formal. The discussion and the debate that happens about many issues happens the Wednesday before. Public comment is typically a period when anybody can come, ask to be on the agenda and make their points. But in a public comment period, the board cannot reply. It is not a discussion. You can only ask for points of clarification. And I think that, you know, sometimes people misunderstand that when they come. And that's the same under Robert's rules for any public comment period for a board such as a school district or any other elected entity. The school board has recently put that at the end of a meeting. Do you think that it is working? It seems to me that there are less people who come make public comment because you have to sit all the way through what can be very long meetings. Do you feel that you are missing comment and communication from the community and from parents or teachers or other stakeholders through that decision?
I don't. That's actually one of the reasons why we did move it to the end, was so that people could gain a better understanding of actually how the work goes. And you are correct. The Wednesday prior to our actual second Monday meeting is where a lot of the work takes place, and a lot of the conversation is fluid. The questions are asked. We really get down to the nitty gritty of something, you know, and we try to keep it at a minimum of, you know, a few talking points. Obviously, it depends on what time of year we're in, what we're working through. But we really try to keep it at a few points so that we really can give it the time that it's deserved. And I wouldn't say that we put it so that we wouldn't have public comment, because we always welcome public comment. I was elected to work for the people. I work for the people. And what the people want matters to me. But I think putting at the end has been a really good educational piece for people, because they can come in and they can sit and listen and they can watch us work and they can hear us ask the questions. And so honestly, I think putting at the end has actually benefited us, has been more of a benefit than anything for the board, the trustees.
Looking forward, you've got another 3 years or so ahead of you. Public education is under a lot of pressure.
There's a lot
in flux. Funding is an issue. It is funded by local property tax in part. That is maybe going down. We don't know. This year may be okay, but we don't know what's going to happen. There is legislative challenges to public education. There are lots of questions about safety, for example, but also debate about curriculum. And there is a political edge to everything as well. What do you see as the really big challenges in the next period? And what are the difficult decisions going to be for school board trustees coming up?
I think some of the big decisions that we're going to be facing is processes that we're starting to put in place now, and systems that we're putting in place, and positions that we're filling. I feel like we're getting to a place where we will have a better understanding. So when the state legislature and the when they make decisions, there's always people watching, looking, and trying to decide. So when a decision comes down, like for instance, we'll take the education funding that the legislature just passed this year. There to that funding that parents can apply for.
You're referring to the homeschool subsidy that they.
Yes, the parent subsidy for the school, the educational funding,
which is up to, I believe, $7,000, which you can claim against various things, materials, and so on. You don't just get a check for $7,000.
There's actually a system in place at the state level, and from everything that I'm understanding, everything will go through State Superintendent Megan Degenfelder, and so what that means for us as local school boards, so we have to look at, basically like marketing public school. We are no longer, for a long time, public school was the only option, especially in Johnson County. And now we're not the only option. There are lots of options out there. And so marketing public school, putting the best teachers in front of kids, offering a gamut of multiple opportunities, extracurricular, also educationally, we need to find a point where we can market that as appealing.
And that's largely, my understanding is, because your funding doesn't come regardless. Your funding comes from the number of students enrolled in school sitting behind the desk being taught.
Yeah.
And the less kids you have on those seats, the less money you have. But there's also still this substantial overhead of what it costs just to keep the building open and to have enough teachers. Teachers, as a profession, is harder and harder. Teachers complain more and make more comments about, it's more onerous, more rigorous, there's more work, there's a lot more out of class time work and expectations than there has been before. And we know that less people are interested in entering the profession per se, and more are leaving earlier and not making it a lifelong career. How can you, as a school board member, or as a school board itself, attract people to Johnson County?
How can we attract employees
Employees, people? I mean, are our teacher salaries and employee salaries, are they parable to other places around the state? We know we have a housing shortage, which doesn't help anything.
So, and that's a piece that we're working on. Again, we're in charge of all that, the funding that comes from the state and the funding that comes from the county. And so within that piece, our largest portion of budget is to salaries and benefits. I believe it's 80%. And mind you, there's several components within the funding, but And so one of the things that we have taken under our wing and have and started looking at is that base salary, to make it more competitive, to be able to live here. Because as you just said, the housing market here, specifically in Johnson County, there's not a lot. And what there is doesn't fall within like where our base salary lies. So if we were to bring someone in just off of, you know, the UW roster, brand new, had never taught, starting at the bottom of our salary schedule, would they be able to afford something here? And from all of the studies that we've done and the different things that we've seen within the community, and the market, the housing market, I would be hard pressed to say that a brand new off the roster UW teacher could come here and afford to buy a home, right off the top. And so we're looking, one of the things that we're looking at is working and seeing what we can do to adjust that base pay. And so we, you know, the days of let's just say like a first grade position coming open, the days of having maybe 100 applicants, well, you might now have 5 or less. And so, we're looking at those different ways of what can we do to make people want. I think the beauty of Buffalo, you know, we've got the mountains, the lake, the prairie, it's beautiful here, but beauty doesn't pay the bills. And people are really, you know, getting down to that dollar point, and housing is a huge problem.
And we have an older community.
And we
have, Johnson County community is skewed older than the rest of the state, which is already older by national standards. And so there's a bunch of people who are not ever going to have kids who are going through the school district. And that may change the tempo and the tone of the community. And everything that happens in schools, and I think after school activities are sort of a matrix that connect community to into the school district. It you know, it's where the community often comes together, quite literally, physically, to do that. That may change, perhaps. I don't know.
Well, within these small communities, I know that you know, we'll just say like basketball, for instance, you can turn out to a Friday night basketball game or a Friday night football game, and a huge majority of our community will be there, including the older population. You know, it's something for them to do. And so it takes all of those things to grow kids. It takes activities to grow kids. And so I think it's going to take more than just what a school board or a school district could do to attract that population. But I will tell you, there's something to be said for rural schooling, which we would be considered. And I think, you know, we, for instance, like we try to keep our class sizes small. We try to keep them, you know, I'm going to say probably like 22 and under, depending on grade level, primarily at the elementary level. We try to keep those class sizes small so that, you know, there is an opportunity for more hands-on, maybe a little bit more one-to-one if that is something that a student needs. And so, you know, as far as like rural, I think that, you know, as a parent, that would be attractive. I always look at like, you know, if I were ever going to go anywhere, probably one of my first thoughts would be, because I do have a child, I would look at that education system of wherever I was trying to decide to go. And that's just me. You know, some people have to do what they have to do.
I think many parents would resonate.
But I think, yes, I think it's important.
Some attention to that, what the education system is like.
And school district, I mean, is definitely a hub of a community. I mean, we are a big part. We're one of the largest employing entities within Johnson County. And so I would definitely consider us a hub of this community. and a piece that I think that a lot of people that are coming in or people that do come in would look at. Like, and some of those things are attractive. And I think, you know, class size truly, truly is attractive, that keeping it small.
So in your role as a school board member, there's a lot to juggle. I mean, it's mm-hmm. it's a huge piece. It's not just education. You don't really get involved particularly in curriculum itself. You don't get involved in making decisions in individual buildings and so on. But there is a lot across the board, because you have to be responsible for keeping buildings open and policies for all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. How much time does it take you?
You know, I've been asked that a lot. And I really think that it depends on the individual. I personally, with my first election, I set my own personal goals, and not knowing even really what I was getting into. So I set these own personal goals. And one of the goals that I set for myself was to spend the time that I thought was necessary to gain the best understanding of how a school district works, of how the funding works, how the actual day-to-day operations work. I don't necessarily know. I mean, you could ask me today who is the seventh grade science teacher. I really couldn't tell you. But I look at those operations. And so I personally took it as my personal goal to learn everything that I can. The really great thing that Johnson County and that the state of Wyoming offers is that there is so much educational training. A lot of times I've spent a Saturday morning and sat from 8 o'clock in the morning till noon listening to a training, maybe on like the state standards. I take a week or 3 days, really, I guess I should say 3 days, and go to the Wyoming State School Board Association conference. That's a huge piece of education. I dipped my toes into special education, and there's a conference that I was given the opportunity to attend, a federal law conference. And so I dipped my toes into that, and that was another week. If I really had to nail down the hours that I spend personally, and again, I'm only speaking for myself, I would say I spend anywhere from probably 25 to 40 hours a month. I take every month, we're given roughly a long week to go over reports, to click on links. I joke, but it's the truth. I call myself the link clicker. If they send me a link, I will click on it and I will read. And sometimes I get so far in links that I've lost my place. But that's how I've taught myself. And so I take that time to really try and understand. One of the main things is our budget. That was a tough one for me to learn off the top. I just thought we were given this pot of money and we could do with it whatever we wanted. We could, you know, we could appropriate how we wanted. That is not how it works. And so I go in and I look and I click and I ask and I make phone calls and I email. And, you know, I've never been shrugged off. I've always been given a response. I'm never afraid to say, if I don't know the answer to that, I'll find out and let you know. And so me personally, yeah, I spend probably 25-ish plus.
And was there a big learning curve?
Absolutely. I'm in my fifth year and I'm just barely getting a handle.
Okay. So what were the things that, you thought going in and that you have discovered?
Well, being okay. For instance, 5 years ago, there was an article put out that said Johnson County was getting 11 new buses. Yet there were many articles before and many different pieces before that talked about funding's down, this is down, that's down. And me, as just a person off the street, why are they getting 11 new buses? What's wrong with our buses that we have to get 11 new buses if we're so broke? Boy, was I educated, because I found out actually how the transportation department works. All of those things are on a schedule. There are laws that say you can run this, you know, X amount of time before you have to check these things. It's safety. That was, you know, that piece, just that transportation piece for myself, was a huge learning curve. I mean, huge. And there's been a gamut of other things, you know, that I've come into.
Nutrition is one I know that I've done.
Nutrition.
Which is, I mean, essentially, it's so tightly regulated.
Oh, yes.
And there is so little funding that that's the best that there is. And it, intuitively, it doesn't look like it's the healthiest, most sensible way of giving kids nutritional food.
Yeah.
But the regulation makes it so. And as I said before, I see that in multiple areas across education.
Yeah. So, yeah, when I started learning about that transportation piece, that lit a fire in me. That lit a fire, and I thought, you know what? This isn't the only thing that I don't understand. And if I'm going to do this for 4 more years, I got to feel better about this. And if I'm going to communicate with people in my community, I don't want to just blow something off my lips that would be an opinion. I want to give actual true facts, and I want people to understand. So for people to understand, I had to understand. So I actually have taken all the education and all the opportunities, and I've really ran with it.
What do you think are the qualities of a good board member?
I say this often, and my board, the team members that I work with, they know, listen to learn and not respond. I think, having an open mind in listening to others, learning what others may have to teach you. Gosh, there's lots of qualities. I could pick something off of everybody that I think is important, but an engagement in this community. I would like to think that if you're going to run for an elected position, you are engaged somehow within the community. And yeah, I would say that's probably my biggest thing, is the listen to learn and not respond. And when you learn, then you're able to respond better.
On Wednesday, the school board is going to be looking for letters of interest that demonstrate, and it says in the packet that you have provided to interested individuals, alignment with district goals and values, communication leadership goals, and community service and school involvement. And it will be on that basis that you make the decisions. I don't know how many letters of interest there are in yet. It closes on Monday, and that's just a couple of days away. And then somebody's going to be right in the hot seat. Will there be training for those people, and how will you bring them up to speed, you know, given that they're going to be sitting behind as a school board trustee until the election in 2026, and then they could stand again if they wanted to. Do you think it's going to be difficult to absorb two new people in, who may or may not have had experience, may or may not be educators and so on? Can you get up to speed in just that short amount of time?
Absolutely. So the WSBA, the Wyoming State School Board Association, so this specific year when I, or 2024, when I put my name in to run again, and you pick up your packet from the courthouse, and within that packet is your financial piece, what your piece is for the county, how you can run your election. But this year they also included this piece from the Wyoming School Board Association. It's called Becoming a School Board Member, and it is a packet of about 20 pages
that gives the to
and the from and the what and the how and the why and all the things. Talks about the ethics of education. It talks about election code. I mean, there's a gamut of things. And so they will receive that. But also within that, Johnson County, we school district, have taken it to a whole nother step. And we take those new members and we run them through schools. We show them the ins and outs. We give them, you know, pieces to financial pieces or things to financial pieces that they, you know, will be facing. And because these next two that we're putting in, I mean, we're on budget. Our budget is due in July. And this year we're
that's working on a,
yeah,
fire,
we're working on through a recalibration right now. And so, yeah, they're going to be in the hot seat. They'll feel like they're sucking through a fire hose, but I feel that we have, some really good veterans on our board that are willing to, I am willing to answer any questions that I can. I'm a simple phone call away. I'm pretty readily available. I will always respond. And I know that there's other board members that will do the same. And then through our district, our superintendent has, kind of taken this, what a school board member packet and kind of like taken it down and put it on a Johnson County level, on Johnson County School District level. And so they'll go through a training of that. And like I said, any one of us that are on, which I guess would be seven of us left, are a valuable resource. And I'm one that if I don't know the answer to it, I'm not afraid to say I'll find out. I'll get back to you.
Well, I'm very interested to hear the conversation on Wednesday and then also the following Monday, see, you know, who you are going to appoint.
I mean, me too.
It's an important decision.
Absolutely.
That you have. So, thank you very much for spending some time to explain the real life of a school board trustee and the ins and outs of all of that. And I very much appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you, Kate. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to come in and explain our position. It's a hard position, but in my eye, our future generation is more than worth it. They're going to be there. And I'm happy to be a part of a system that keeps kids moving forward and keeps a community growing and changing. And I'm grateful every day for the opportunity to be on the
school
board.
Thank you for your dedication, time, and service, and also for talking with me today.
Yes, thank you, Kate.
This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.